Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch. This is an audio recording of a sermon given by Pastor Mark.
Good morning again, everybody. So that song goes very well with our service today, Walking Through the Fire. Our story is in Daniel chapter 3, and it's the story of Daniel's friends finding themselves being thrown into the fiery furnace. Before we move on with our story today, I just want to move back in what this series is about, Forged in Fire. We've seen that this series is about choice. The life that we are called to live as Christians is a life of choice, to choose every moment of every day whether we're going to follow the Lord. Faith in the Lord is not a once-off thing of saying from our lips, Lord, I believe in you. But to have that choice every moment of every day, that in this moment, I'm choosing the Lord. In this moment, I'm choosing the Lord. That is the life of faith that the Lord calls us to. That is a living faith when we are choosing moment by moment to follow the Lord instead of, as in the story, following the king, King Nebuchadnezzar. So in the story, we've seen the king who represents our selfishness, that hellish side of us that wants things, that's always drawing things, wants things of the world, wants other people's approval, wants to be powerful. And then there's Daniel and his friends, our conscience, the true things that we have from the Lord that are opposed to the selfishness. One heavenly and the other one hellish. Last week, we spoke about the choice that we have between our selfishness looking at results. We plan our lives and we have an idea of this is what I want to do, this is what I want to get out of it, this is the things that I'm going to accomplish, these are my goals. Right? They all center around ourselves, and when plans don't work out the way we thought they should, we get anxious. We get worried, we get fearful. That is our selfish earthly self. We saw last week that the Lord then uses that opportunity when we're feeling down and depressed, that things aren't working out the way I planned, that we realize in that moment that as of myself, I have no control over things. And that's where the Lord uses that opportunity to lift up our minds. Lift up our minds to Him and say, perhaps, Lord, you have an answer. Perhaps, Lord, you have a way. And the way that the Lord wants us to walk is moment by moment. So in that moment of despair and anxiety and fear, to then ask the Lord, well, what can I do in this moment? What is the choice that I have in this moment? I can choose to carry on feeling anxious and fearful, or I can choose to be the best possible person I can, to think about other people in this moment, to do what is best for others in this moment. I might be feeling down, but I don't have to put that onto other people. My intentions could be good and should be good. And so the Lord calls us to refocus from our plans to what are His plans. And His plans are, in this moment, what is your choice? Is it going to serve others or is it going to serve yourself? So hopefully, from last week's sermon, you went out into your week and perhaps you felt anxiety during the week and perhaps you thought to yourself in that moment, I need to lift my mind to the Lord. Perhaps you turned to the Lord in prayer and asked Him to give you what you need in this moment. But a funny thing happens in our life. is that when we experience this anxiety and this fear and this worry, and we lift our minds up to the Lord, Lord, please help me. This lower self, this selfishness in us, starts to bring new ideas into our minds. Why am I anxious again? Am I not close enough to the Lord? Am I not good enough as a Christian? Am I a failure as a Christian? Because I can't seem to get out of this anxiety, this fear, this worry. We experience the fear. Our conscience speaks to us, our conscience being the Lord working into the true things in our minds. The Lord speaks to us through our conscience to raise up our thoughts to Him. And there's a reaction from our selfishness that says, but hang on, perhaps you're the fault. Another example. Perhaps you have a fight with someone, a loved one or a co-worker or your children, anyone. You have a heated argument with them. And then a couple of moments later, you think to yourself, I should apologize. And almost at the same time, there's a reaction from within us that says, but hang on, they were wrong. Hang on, they should also apologize. Well, hang on, I'm not going to apologize until they apologize. And hopefully you can recognize that in yourself. You do something hurtful. You know what you should do, and then you make all sorts of excuses about why you shouldn't do what you know you should do. Another example, maybe you are in your thoughts, you're dwelling on lustful things or inappropriate things, and your conscience says to you, hang on, I should turn away from that. But then the selfish and this rises up again and says, but hang on, I'm not hurting anybody. I can look but not touch. And so we see in many aspects of our life, we do something, our conscience says, nah, you shouldn't be doing that. But then that selfishness in us rises up in response to the conscience. And in that moment, we find ourselves having to make a choice. Do I go along with my conscience, or do I go along with all these things that are now rising up inside me? Do I believe these excuses that I'm making? And in that moment, we are in a temptation. That is what a temptation really is. It's a temptation not of something outside there attacking you, but it's something happening within you. My selfishness against the Lord. That's what a temptation really is. Now I want to read to you the story for today from Daniel chapter 3. But before I do that, I want to just highlight what some of the images in the story represent. So as we're reading through it, we get a sense of how these examples I've mentioned are reflected in the story for today. So we said the king in this story represents our selfishness. We want things our way. We want to rule. We want power over other people. We want people to serve us. And then we have Daniel, our conscience, and his friends represent those true ideas that we love in our minds. And then we have in this story a fiery furnace. Now, we have in our church these flames of fire coming out from the Lord's word. These flames represent the Lord's love and wisdom that burns for us. The Lord's love and wisdom that burns for us. But there is another fire that burns, and it's a fire that burns within each one of us, and it's the fire of hatred. It's the fire of cruelty. It's the fire of selfishness. And so in the story today, this fire that we're going to hear about is the fire of selfishness that burns within each one of us. You can follow along in your pew card. We start our reading in verse 19, just to put into context. So the king has built this golden image, 60 meters high, and every time the music plays, people must bow down and worship. And obviously in the story, Daniel and his friends refuse to do that. They go against the king. And the king hears about it, and this is where our story kicks off. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression of his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was Daniel's three friends. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flames of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 bound men into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he said, "I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They are not hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." So in the story, we see King Nebuchadnezzar raise up this image. Daniel and his friends resist or say, no, they're not going to follow that. And the king then retaliating, putting this big fire, 7 times hotter than normal, burns against Daniel and his friends. And his friends are thrown into the fire to try and destroy them. If we go back to our examples and our experience of life, whenever we do something, like fight with somebody, and then know that we should apologize, that's Daniel and his friends, then that selfishness in us rises up. It burns against that true idea. It burns because it wants to destroy that. And there is a deeper reality at play behind what is happening here. This is what I want to talk about today in particular. I want you to pull out your pew card again. We are spiritual beings in natural bodies. We are souls that have a life in this natural world. So we are connected to the spiritual world all the time. Okay, that's an important thing to remember as part of our walk in this world. The thing about this physical body is it's so blunt, it's so restricted that we think that this world is all that there is. And we are totally unaware of anything spiritual that is happening around us. So what we're going to look today is, what is that spiritual reality that's happening around us that is described in the story or is causing the effects that we see in today's story? So when we're in this selfish state, you read from the teachings for the new church, from a book called Secrets of Heaven, evil spirits attach themselves to us. Right? So if we're in a selfish state, the evil spirits that are unseen to our natural eyes attach themselves to our spirit. And they call up the facts that we have heard, the ideas that seem rational to us, and nothing else. Now, this is an important point here. When there is a temptation in your mind, when you have done something wrong, and you know there's the right action to do in order to fix it, the hells will draw up into your mind only the things that support you in staying in that selfishness. So in that moment of temptation, all that you can think about or all that seems to come into your mind is all the reasons why you can continue as you are. Why you are justified in the things that you are doing. The hells will call up into your memory only those things which support you continuing in that evil. And they call forth all our misconceptions. Right? Misconceptions about life, about other people, generalizations that we have. Oh, well, that's typical of that family, or that's typical of those people, or that's typical of people from that country. A generalization, a misconception, and we draw on all these misconceptions, all these half-truths, all these things that will support my perspective. And they try to persuade us that falsity is truth, and more than that, they even turn our true ideas into false ones. A true idea that becomes a false one is a true idea that is only half a truth. The Lord loves me just the way I am. It's a wonderful truth and a wonderful falsity. Because we can use that truth to stay just the way we are. I have done something evil, but the Lord loves me just the way I am. An excuse. Using the Lord's words against the Lord. Turning truth into falsity. The evil spirits summon up every wrong that we have ever done or ever considered from childhood on. So if we think about the example of we're down and we're feeling anxious and fearful and know that we should be turning to the Lord and for His help. And in that moment of turning to the Lord for help, we feel like, why am I facing this problem again? Why am I battling with this? I'm such a bad person. I'm always failing at this. I'm a terrible person. The hells are drawing up all your past mistakes, all the past bad experiences, and trying to make you see yourself as this awful person that is no good. So they stir up both what is evil and what is false in us and condemn us for it. They don't just draw them up. They say, the evil spirits also then say, you see, you're hurtful, you're selfish, you're a bad person. So they draw these things into our minds and then they poke at us. Nothing gratifies them more. Nothing gratifies them more. Drawing up our evils and then saying, see, you're a bad person. It is the central pleasure of their life. Okay, this is the spiritual reality that we are in. That when we are doing something hurtful towards others or hurtful to ourselves, the hells want to destroy us. This is the central pleasure of their life. We never produce anything misguided or wicked out of ourselves. Okay? We don't produce anything good out of ourselves, and we don't produce anything wicked and evil out of ourselves. These things flow into us. The good from heaven, the evil from hell. It is the evil spirits with us who produce it, and at the same time cause us to believe that it comes from ourselves. Such is their malevolence. Sorry. What is more, at the same instant, they are filling us with these things and making us believe this way. They are accusing and condemning us. So in that moment of temptation where we have this fire, this reaction now burning in us against our conscience, we have something acting on us from heaven, something acting us from hell. I want to carry on reading. The tests that we undergo are nothing else than battles between the evil spirits and the angels who are present with us. And that while we sense this conflict indistinctly in our conscience, but through the angels, the Lord protects us and prevents evil spirits and demons from pushing beyond the furthest limits of our endurance and drowning us. The Lord and His angels are constantly working on us, in our conscience, through the true ideas that we have. The hells are working on us in that sense of selfishness and power and greed. They are working on us. And as soon as our conscience works against the selfishness rises up. The evil spirits now know, hang on, we're going to lose the battle. We are going to, the truth is coming, the Lord is coming, we've got to fight. And so they burn hotter. They burn more fiercely with that selfishness, with the excuses, with the self-condemnation. They burn stronger, trying to get us to choose to give in to them. But the Lord is there constantly working. And perhaps you've recognized that last bit that I read there, the Lord never gives you more than you can handle. That's a very common saying out in the world. The Lord never gives you more than you can handle. That is a spiritual truth. That's something that you can hold on to. The Lord never gives me more than I can handle. And you know what the biggest temptation is that we face in the time where all these evils well up inside of us and that fire burns hot? The biggest temptation we face is to believe that the Lord has left us. If you think about the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane and He was praying, it felt to Him like the Lord had left Him, that His Father, the love within Him that He had for the human race, had left Him. We too face that often. The Lord has left me. I am alone. There is no help for me. That is what the hells want us to believe. But the reality is, as I've said every week, the Lord is always with you. That's on our banner. Right? Lord, You are with me. The Lord never leaves us. Even if we go to the darkest hell, the Lord is with us, He says. So that's one of the biggest temptations we face. As this fire burns hot and we find ourselves in that fire, feeling like the life is going to consume us, that this is too much for me to handle, the Lord is still with us. And we see that in that fourth person in the fire. An image of the Lord with each one of us in the fire. Right? The Lord is with us through the battles, in the struggle. The Lord is with us and He is protecting us and preserving us and allowing us in that moment perfect freedom. I know it doesn't seem that way, but in our darkest battles, the Lord's preserving all things so that we are in perfect freedom to still make that choice. Do I give in to the hells and make that what they're saying a part of my life? Or do I embrace what the Lord is trying to teach me through His Word? So that is the temptation that is presented to each one of us in multiple ways in our life. But the Lord is always there, maintaining a balance, so that we are always free to choose. But that choice doesn't seem very easy. So what can we do? What can we do to help ourselves in that moment when the hells have only brought the ideas that support us in that evil, support us in that selfishness? What can we hold on to? And that's where we turn to the Lord. We find the Lord in His Word. Perhaps there is a memory verse that you have. That's what some people do. What is one verse in the Bible that really you're able to draw strength from and courage from? What is that one verse? Have your Bible close at hand. Turn to the Psalms. The Psalms are just song after song after song of these internal battles that we are facing. It's written in a way that looks like it's David talking about the battle of his enemies in his kingdom. But we can also read it because the Lord has designed it so as the battles we are facing. Turn to the Psalms. Read those Psalms. Draw the strength in the moments that you feel like this is getting too much. And obviously, pray to the Lord. The Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed. An example to us in those times of temptation, in those times of struggle, when we feel overwhelmed by all that the hells are bringing into our lives, we've got to still turn to the Lord, His Word. And He will give us the strength and the courage and the direction to take us forward, to win that battle. And it's interesting to note that this battle is happening outside of ourselves, that there are evil spirits that have come near to us, but there are also angels that are near to us. And the fight that is really happening is on a spiritual level. The angels, if we call on the Lord and His angels, are there to fight and to push away those evil spirits from us, to push away all those feelings and those negative thoughts that we have. So the fight is really happening outside there. Our part is but a small part. Turn to the Lord. Turn to His Word. Turn to Him and pray. And from those things we can draw strength to hold on. Keep on holding on to the truth. To keep on doing what we know to be right in that moment. Go and apologize because we know it is right. Turn away from the thinking because we know it is right. Turn to the Lord because we know it is right. Hold on to those truths. And then the Lord's angels can fight for us and to push away those urges, push away that evil thinking, that selfishness, so that we can find comfort and peace from the Lord. Amen. To the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, our Savior Jesus Christ, You are always with us, especially in the times of despair, in times of trouble, when we feel like the fires of selfishness are burning so strong. Lord, You are there. You are with us in the midst of that fire. Lord, we ask that as we go out into this week and as we face the temptations to ignore and destroy our conscience, that, Lord, we try instead to turn to You, to hold on to those true ideas that we have, and to draw strength from You to hold on during those battles. Lord, we know that You are with us, that You are fighting for us, and that in every moment of every day, You are trying to draw us up into a new life, into a heavenly life. And Lord, we ask that You give us the strength and the courage to choose this path. Amen. May the Lord give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Amen.